Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. As always, our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our wonderful resource consultants, they are standing by at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. A lot of hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Sandy, listening in Reno, Nevada. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. And it's my understanding that since 1967 and the Six-Day War in Israel, that Messianic Jewish congregations have exploded, not only in Israel, but in the United States. And I think that's wonderful that these Jews are turning to Jesus. But this is my question. I have friends who now feel, Christian friends, not Jews, who now feel that after studying what the Messianic Jewish congregations are doing, that it's now pagan to celebrate Christmas, New Year's, and Easter, that we should be celebrating the feasts. And my question to you is, how, as a Christian, do I talk to my non-Jewish Christian friends and make them understand that it's okay to honor Jesus Christ our Lord on his birth, his death, burial, and resurrection?
Well, I think you've put your finger on the systemic issue, Sandy. I mean, the real problem is what Hebrews talks about when it says that when you revere the type as opposed to the antitype that supersedes it, it is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. And this is precisely what the Jewish community wanted to do. They had a living temple in their midst, but they wanted to continue with a temple made of luminous limestone and glistening gold. They wanted to continue with their own traditions when the fulfillment to those traditions have come in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think, unfortunately, there are many people that are of the same mindset today, and it's worthwhile to remind them that the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. The reason is that Jesus is the antitype that fulfills all that came before. And to revert back to the types and shadows when the fulfillment has come is an abomination. Now, there are people that legitimately do not celebrate Christmas for reasons of paganism. They recognize that Christianity established Christmas as a rival celebration to pagan celebrations, but today Christmas has largely become pagan again, and therefore they choose not to celebrate Christmas, and that is their right and their prerogative, and I wouldn't say a thing against that. The thing that I do, of course, have a problem with is those who, again, do the very thing that we are warned in Scripture not to do, forget the antitype and replace the antitype with the types and shadows that preceded.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that answer. It really has created divisions in families because some of the family will say, I'm not celebrating anymore, and some of the rest of the family will say, well, we can't survive without celebrating Christmas and New Year's and Easter. So it's created quite a division in families.
Sure. And what you've done is the wise thing. You've gone beyond the superficial, and you're looking at the reasoning people have for doing what they're doing. again, there's nothing wrong with not celebrating Christmas, but there's a lot wrong with not recognizing that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the types and shadows. Jesus, of course, said, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Sammy in Durham, North Carolina. Hi, Sammy.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, sir.
You're welcome.
My question has to do with the second coming of Christ. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine last night, and I made the statement that all the prophecies have been fulfilled, and I didn't finish the statement because later on that night I got to thinking, if I'm wrong, please correct me. All prophecies have been fulfilled that allows Christ to return at any time. Is that true?
Absolutely, yes. Christ can return in the next millisecond.
Okay. The second part of the question is this. Did that all come to be when Israel became a state again in 1948?
Well, it's wonderful that we have a democracy in the Middle East, but that has nothing to do with the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. The reason that the Jewish nation was judged was because they did not recognize Messiah in their midst. They cried out, crucify him, crucify him, his blood be on us and our children. And Jesus prophesied that within a generation, the temple and Jerusalem would be not just manifestly desecrated, but manifestly destroyed. And of course, if you look at the Old Testament, the Lord warned Israel that if she prostituted herself with the foreign nations around her, that they would lose their land. And so they lost their land in disobedience, and they're not returning as the fulfillment of prophecy in disobedience. That wouldn't make any sense at all. The prophecies that you have in Scripture are there to demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. In other words, I told you these things using the words of deity. I told you these things before they happened so that when they happened, you might believe. So we have the prophets in Scripture, the apostles making predictions, and those predictions have been fulfilled precisely as they have been made, demonstrating that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, a reliable authority. So what do we await? We await, and all generations have been awaiting the same thing since the fulfillment of scriptural prophecies. They've been awaiting the time that Jesus appears a second time. At that time, the problem of sin and Satan will be fully and finally resolved. The dead will rise, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. The universe that groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and we will give an account for what we have done while we are on this earth. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Hugh, listening in Spokane, Washington. Hi, Hugh.
Hello, Hank. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, my understanding is that in the geological record, many forms of life existed on the planet before humans. And my question was, if Adam and Eve were in the garden and they sinned, did that bring physical death into the world, or was the garden where all the animals lived eternal? I don't quite understand how you understand and process the stories in the Bible as compared to the geological record. And I was hoping you could explain that a little bit according to your view. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And I've said this before, but an orthodox understanding of the Creator of all things is that He acts transtemporally. In other words, He acts across time in all of His creation. And therefore, the cross of Christ retroactively atones for Adam's sin just as it proactively atones for the sin of Adam's yet unborn descendants. And I think in much the same fashion, and there's little difficulty conceiving of a transcendent God who predestines natural evil to precede the fall, even though the fall is the necessary cause of the evils that precede it. Now, that's one possible explanation. There are many others. I only bring this one up because it's natural for humans to see time's arrow from a forward perspective, but we do well to recognize that God's infallible truth is not always presented in chronological fashion. And as such, the advent of the last Adam not only atones for sins of thousands of years after the advent of the first Adam, but the last Adam, Jesus, is biblically portrayed as the lamb slain from the creation of the world. So there are many answers that could be given, but I think the real issue here is that sin brought death and disease and destruction and decay. Spiritual death certainly happened as a result of Adam and Eve's fall. They were separated from God. And not only that, but the universe itself suffered. It now groans in travail. So the point is that the Bible is communicating chirologically, not chronologically. The point is that the Bible is communicating God's purposes in creation. If you want to understand how everything cashes out, you not only have to learn how to read Scripture well, but you have to learn how to do science well as well. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to John in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I was reading through the book of Isaiah, and I read a verse. It's Isaiah 14:24. It says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand." And then Isaiah 46:10 says, "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." And I guess my question is, at the end of time, when all the revelation and all the prophecies have been fulfilled, will God have obtained everything that he wanted to obtain? Will he be satisfied? And I guess, will God get what he wants?
Yeah, absolutely. He will obtain the perfected bride, the full complement of his people from every nation and language and peoples throughout the entire earth. This is the great crowd, or the 144,000 talked about in the book of Revelation. And God will, in fact, have affected those purposes in the world, because they will be the people who have been deified. They will be the people who are partakers, as Peter put it, of the divine nature. And Jesus will carry his bride, his perfected bride, over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem, which is the grand metanarrative of Scripture. Paradise lost will become paradise restored. And of course, you need to be careful with your use of Isaiah, because there is a specific context for Isaiah. The context that you're talking about has to do with a prophecy against Assyria. And that prophecy, of course, was fulfilled precisely as the prophecy has been made, demonstrating that the Bible is a reliable authority.
I see. Yeah, I was wondering about that too, the context there. But you're saying at the end he will get what he wants?
Well, absolutely, because what did God create humanity for in the first place? Really for fellowship, so that we can be brought into the fellowship of the Trinity, so that we could become a children of God, partakers, as I just mentioned, of the divine nature, using the words of the Apostle Peter. And this is precisely what is happening to those who are participants in the kingdom. They are being infilled with Christ. They are ultimately going to be perfected in a new heaven and a new earth. Perfected not in the sense that they'll know everything, but they will have been deified and will forever be able not to sin, and will be able to enjoy fellowship with their Maker in the fullest capacity.
What I'm thinking about is where Jesus said, there will be many which go in the way of destruction. So there's going to be a lot of people that don't get the benefit of the redemption.
Oh, they get exactly what they want. I mean, God is not a cosmic rapist. He doesn't force people into his loving presence. People have the opportunity to respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit or not. So it would be a horrific evil if God would force people into his loving presence for all eternity. Heaven wouldn't be heaven in that case. Heaven would be hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment worse than hell.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Bert, listening in St. Joseph, Missouri. Hi, Bert.
Hello. I do have a question on a book written by John MacArthur, Genesis 12:33, The Father of Israel, chapter 18, when he talks about Sarah had passed the age of child-raising. This was had previously been the Lord's intention in his promise to Abraham concerning an heir. He allowed the couple to get well beyond the point where it was physically possible for them to bear children, because he wanted the birth of Isaac to be an undeniable miracle. This was a foreshadowing of the miraculous virgin birth of Jesus himself. The Lord also wanted to stretch the faith of both Abraham and Sarah in this process, teaching them with God all things are possible. Mark 10:27. My question is, how does he know this? That is not in the Bible that I can find.
Well, I think it's an apt theological deduction from the biblical teaching. So I think that from the overall story, we can make these kinds of theological deductions. I think certainly the faith of Abram was tested, as was the faith of Sarah. I mean, they were severely tested in their faith. Sarah could not believe that such a thing could be possible and even laughed about it. So they were tested in their faith. But yeah, I think too, it's a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ, as John MacArthur has aptly put it. I don't think that there's any question about that. And so I think that John has beautifully communicated what the scriptures are teaching in this regard, given the theological deductions that you can appropriately make from scripture. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Lori in South Dakota. Hi, Lori.
Hi, thank you so much for your Stand for the Truth. I've been listening to you since September on my way to work, and my question has, I know you study world religions, and my kids are obsessed with Pokemon, and I don't know if you know much about those little critters, and I just thought they were cute, and, you know, I let them play them and trade the cards and all that, but I'm keeping my ears open, and I hear things like potions and the different powers that they have and that kind of thing, and it's concerned me, so I put it on hold now, and I can't find really any information on it in the Christian, you know, I've Googled and tried to find something where there's a Stand on it somewhere. And I was wondering if it's something like kind of like yoga, it sneaks into the church, but yet when you study it, it's an Eastern religion. If you know anything about it, I don't know.
Well, I do think that you're making an apt comparison, because yoga, you can divorce from its Eastern underpinnings. Pokemon actually means pocket monsters, right? And these are creatures that come in all shapes and sizes and personalities, and some of them are plant-like and others are animal-like and still others are ghost-like. And children train them for battle, or they trade them, or they become friends with them. Some Pokemon are psychic, other Pokemon are ghosts, others are other designations. But some aspects of Pokemon can better be described as empty rather than evil. And I really like that alliteration in explaining this, because you know what a lot of kids do is they end up avoiding critical thinking and reading and social interaction for these creatures. Now, the Pokemon program does not explicitly encourage children to dabble in the occult, but some aspects, and you really underscored this in the prologue to your question, some aspects of Pokemon employ occult terminology, and that's what you're hearing when you hear about the potions and the like. This is a very addictive kind of a game. It can lead to a real discombobulation between parents and their children. It does contain some very pronounced violence. Sometimes it's regarded as mild, but violence nonetheless, and can often be replete with very disturbing aspects within the game. So, you know, I would exercise a lot of due caution. I would talk to your kids about it. And I don't think you have to be overly legalistic about it, but I think it's a great thing to talk to your kids about, because ultimately, what are you trying to do in the process? You're not saying don't do this as much as you're saying embrace a biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I do want to mention how important it is for people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. We simply cannot do what we do without you. A lot of people think that we have a big foundation that supports us. No, we have to pay for our airtime and for outreaches around the world. And so when you give, you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, a very worthwhile investment. Only from the perspective of eternity will you fully know how God has used your gifts and your faithful stewardship for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by. You can pick up the phone and talk to them, 888-7000, and the letters CRIPE. I'll be right back in this seat, Lord willing, tomorrow with more answers to your questions. We do what we do because life and truth really do matter.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.